You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the first part of today's gospel from Mark chapter 6. There was a congregation that didn't have a clear written policy regarding vacation time for the pastor. Call documents simply said, negotiable. Don't ever accept a call where part of it is negotiable. Because you see, every year it had to be brought up before the voters assembly, and every year it turned embarrassing for the pastor. And so he pleaded with them, he begged them, he pestered them, he badgered them, and finally he wore them down. He was convinced they needed a written policy, and so at the next voters' meeting, the chairman of the congregation went before the congregation and presented a resolution. He introduced it saying, "The church council now feels it's important that we give our pastor a permanent vacation." That was a joke. A permanent vacation? They were tired of him? Vacation seemed to be on everybody's mind right now. Some of us have just come back from vacation. And right, Pastor Asbury, some of us are just going on vacation. Everybody's thinking about vacation except those of you who are in Hebrew and Greek. You don't get a vacation. Jesus had planned a little vacation for his disciples. They had just returned from their first missionary journey on their own. And they gladly reported to Jesus all that they had done. They were probably feeling a little bit entitled, as though they had earned a few days of rest and recuperation. But there were so many people coming to Jesus. If they were going to get any rest, they were going to have to get away from the crowd by themselves. And so they all got into a boat. Great place for a vacation. They headed across the lake to the other side, a quiet, desolate place. But when they arrived there, it wasn't meant to be, because they were met by a crowd, a large crowd. Thousands of people had gotten there ahead of him. And I wonder what those disciples thought as they saw that crowd waiting for them. I suspect that they were pretty disappointed and complained, "Give us a break. We've been on this mission journey. We've been working hard. We know we're supposed to love. We're supposed to care. We're supposed to serve our neighbor. We've been doing all of that. What more do you people expect of us?" I suspect that's what the disciples thought, because honestly, I've been there too. And with all of your vocations, with all of the expectations, the demands, all of the assignments, all the hours that you spent studying Hebrew, Greek, all the pressure that's put on you, you've gone there too. There have probably been times when you thought, "That's it, I'm done, I've given all I've got to give, I can't spend another hour on this assignment, just leave me alone." But in those times you start feeling guilty. And then a brother or sister comes to you needing a little bit of help. And you might grumble and complain, and you might resent it, and you might go about it with a bad attitude, but you do it. I suspect Jesus was tired too. Remember, at this point, he was bearing the weight of the whole world. But see how Jesus loved. When he saw this crowd waiting for him, he saw more than all of the inconveniences, all the demands that they were putting on him. He saw more than this faceless mass of people. He saw that each one of them had come to him with a specific need. There were some who came needing healing. There were some who were sorrowing, needing comfort. There were those who were struggling with temptations and guilty consciences, needing forgiveness. Some needed encouragement and hope and to be lifted up with his word of life. What do you see when all those people come to you, when you're at home with your spouse and kids, when you're walking around the campus, when you're working at Schnucks, when you're sitting down with a drink with your friends, what do you see? Confess that we usually see what we want to see, and we overlook the obvious. We filter out everything that threatens our peace and tranquility. We can live in the same home, sit in the same classroom, work side by side with the same people every day, and never really see what's going on in their lives or what it is that they truly need. And so husbands and wives get caught up in a power struggle for control of the marriage, and they see their spouse as an opponent instead of as the God-given gift that they've promised to love and cherish. Parents see their children acting out or talking back and lose their patience with those little brats instead of seeing the precious gifts that God has given them. Every workplace, every classroom has an obnoxious colleague who always has to have his mouth open. Every community has an inconsiderate neighbor who's out there disturbing our peace. When we see them, we get irritated. But do we see someone in need? Someone who is dearly loved and precious in the sight of God? When Jesus saw this crowd on the seashore, he had compassion on them. He felt deeply moved by pity and mercy and sympathy and love, but compassion is so much more than just this deep gut feeling. Compassion literally means to suffer along with someone. And it always moves you to do something to relieve that suffering. Remember how Jesus had compassion on the widow at Nain as they were carrying her only son out to the cemetery. He had compassion on a group of lepers who were dying, isolated from family and loved ones. He had compassion on beggars, blind beggars, sitting by the side of the road, just seeking their daily sustenance. He had compassion on the city of Jerusalem, even after they had rejected him. On this day, he had compassion on the crowd by the seashore, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Those people needed someone to lead them, someone to protect them, someone to care for them, someone to feed them what their bodies and souls hungered for. They had wandered away from God like sheep without a shepherd, with sinners, like sinners without a savior. They were lost. Jesus wasn't irritated. He didn't grow impatient with them because of the poor spiritual condition that they'd let themselves fall into. He didn't bash them because of their stupidity or their misunderstanding of what he was trying to say to them. He didn't send them away because they were so sinful. He had compassion on them. He had come for people just like them. He had come to seek and to save the lost. And so when he looked at them, he didn't see just another crowd. He didn't see the inconveniences. He didn't see how obnoxious they were. He didn't hear all the demands that they were placing on him. He saw a precious flock of lost lambs needing a shepherd. He had compassion on them, and so he taught them. That's what they all needed the most. They needed to hear God's word. They needed to know God's will for their lives. They needed to hear once again about a father's love for them. And so he fed them with his word. And then he fed them with bread and fish, what their bodies needed as well. His compassion always moved him to action. to cure the incurable, to give sight to the blind, to comfort the sorrowing, to raise the dead. And it was compassion that moved this good shepherd to go to a cross, to suffer and die, to lay down his life for his precious sheep. The good news today is that he also has compassion on you and me. Like the great crowd that had come to the seashore, we've come today because we know, we know, we too are like sheep without a shepherd. We've sinned and we've gone astray more than we could ever confess. Our faith isn't strong enough to meet all of our needs. We've tried so hard, we've struggled and struggled, and now we realize we're exhausted. We need rest. We need a shepherd. We need a savior. Oh, what burdens you've put on Jesus. What inconveniences, to say the least, has your sin caused him? What a pain you've been, a pain in his hands and feet and side as he hung suffering and dying for you. Yes, he sees you today. He sees you today and all that you need, and he has compassion on you. And that compassion moves him to lead you where you need to go, into his word. That compassion causes him to feed you what you hunger for, his very body and blood. His compassion moves him to give you his perfect rest. Today, Jesus has compassion on you, and that compassion opens your eyes so that you can see, so that you can really see those who keep on coming to you. Your spouse, your children, your friends, your co-workers, your classmates, even your enemies, to see them as he sees them. Not just all of that outward, obvious, obnoxious behavior, but to see beyond all the inconvenience, to see through all the pain and the hassles that they cause you, to see them as they truly are, people for whom your Lord Jesus was willing to suffer and die for them. His compassion moves you to be compassionate too. And not just to feel sympathy and to walk right past them. It carries you out of your comfort zone to suffer right along with them. To do something to relieve that pain and suffering. To carry their burdens. To provide what they need. To help them find rest. To lead them to a good shepherd who loves and cares for them. To lead them to a Savior who forgives them, to lead them to Jesus. In his name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.